I suppose probably every age has had people that are predicting something about the future. And often people predict tragedies about the future, bad news about the future. For instance, you know, when we came up to the year 2000, you know, all the things that people were warning us that were going to happen when that year came. You know, we have it now. You know, we have people speaking about global warming and all the problems that that could bring to us. We have other people telling us about what will happen when the aquifer here runs out of water and what that's going to do to our agriculture, what it's going to do to our economy. Sometimes I think we tend to dismiss those predictions of bad news. And we dismiss them not necessarily because they're false, but because they kind of overwhelm us. And we don't know how to deal with them. And maybe we don't really want to face what kind of changes those events could bring into our lives. And since they seem to be rather remote, we just kind of go on living as we are. Something like that seems to be happening in the gospel this morning. You know, Jesus makes that prediction that he will die, and then in 3 days will rise again. And the gospel says that the apostles didn't understand what he meant, but they were afraid to ask him. But notice what happens right after that. They get in an argument about which one is the most important. Now that sounds a little silly, but if you put it back in its historical context, it's not quite as silly as it sounds. What were their expectations of Jesus? They expected Jesus to conquer the Romans in one way or another. And they thought he was going to set himself up as the Messiah and the King. And of course, if he was the King, if he was in power, where were they going to be? They probably had visions of being kind of his lieutenants. They would be the ones at his right and his left. They would be the powerful ones in the kingdom. And so they were jockeying for position because everyone wanted to be the most important among them. Because when he came to power, they would have power and they would have authority. Can you imagine what the early church would have been like had Jesus not set them straight? Can you imagine what would have happened in those early years after the resurrection and the ascension if they were still jockeying for power and position? But Jesus made it very clear to them that greatness in his kingdom came through service. And that if they wanted to be great in his kingdom, they had to pour out their lives in service to one another and to the people around them. Now let us go to the second reading. That second reading talks about our desires. And St. James is telling us, where do the conflicts, where do the fighting and the dissension and the wars among you originate? And he says, it is your desires. You desire wrongly, he says. You desire things of the world. And because you desire, again, those things of power and prominence and importance, you are in conflict with one another. Isn't that what was happening to those early apostles? Their desires. The readings are challenging you and I to look at our desires. What are the deepest desires of our hearts? Unfortunately, so often our desires are very worldly. We want to be noticed. We want to be important. We want comfort. We want prestige. We want power. We want control. And when we want those things, then the inevitable conflicts and jealousies flow from them. What would happen if the thing we wanted most was a share in the life of God? How that would change our lives. If that was the most important driving force of our life, our lives would be so different. Lest you think that is unreasonable, of all those desires that we have, how many of those are going to last? You know, if we are important, if we are powerful, if we have comfort, how long does it last? But if we share the life of God, how long will that last? Isn't it wisdom to desire the one thing that can last forever? Eternally sharing in the life of our God.